Jason talked in this series last evening. He began to talk about what is usually called the evolution of consciousness. Now, as we talked yesterday and in this talk, even though the talk was very elementary, it was a little bit technical. And technical talk can be nice and precise. That's the value of a technical language. But it's easy to become lost in technicality, or to substitute the technicality with the reality to which that language points. We want to be careful to try to avoid that. From that same technical bias, the technical bias was foreign to their cultural experience and foreign to their education. We're using our terms that are common to most of the mystery schools, but with varying terminology. But it's not something one runs into in everyday life.
I wonder, it wasn't lighting up right. Huh? I always do these sort of things, and it's always to shame me into perspective. Here I'm one of the deepest things in human experience that can't even remember to put a microphone on. No, I don't think I really want to do that. Because the talks are not for the tape, the talks are for the people who are here. And they don't want to hear another repetition except for the latelings. By now, almost all of you have intuited that consciousness can be anything. And consciousness can be about anything. There can be any number of foci of consciousness. There can be any number of viewpoints of consciousness. Any number of beings of consciousness. Any number of flavors of consciousness. Any number of degrees of consciousness. There are no limits to consciousness. All of us participate in the all consciousness at some level of our being. We're there. But only some participate in that all consciousness with an objectiveness that is waking, with a total awareness in self-consciousness. That waking state is obviously superior to the all-conscious state in which one is not waking in that same way. We looked at an analogy yesterday that's worth repeating. It's like listening to music and enjoying it, which is like being in the all-conscious. But it is even more enjoyable, more pleasant to listen and to know what's going on in the music at the same time. That's what the spirit of the mystery schools is. It's very Masonic. We know what is and why it is and how it is. Now, evolution of consciousness, as we're talking about it, is the process of passing from general all consciousness to waking, objective, self-conscious consciousness. Once we become self-willing, and self-willing to self-consciousness, the process is continuous. We will never go to sleep again when we have reached full capacity at self-waking consciousness. So, what we've been talking about is that passing from all consciousness to the waking state, which we are now just beginning to do. And because we're just beginning, and most of us, or most of our being, is unconscious, we are having to work from the reports of the seers of the Rosicrucian Order. And remember that process as much as we can from their hints until we can see for ourselves. Yesterday, we noted that in order to achieve the state of objective waking self-consciousness, we had to lose the all-conscious state. Now, I don't know if that means a forgetting of it, or a distraction from it, or a being closed off from it, or what. But there are plenty of hints that all of those are possibilities. But we don't have time to go into that. It's very big. In any case, our becoming selves, our becoming beings, were plunged by divine beings into deep unconsciousness, in the pool of all being that is called matter. In that unconsciousness, we could be worked on and our attention focused so that we could become objects and become aware of objective states of being. That is, in objects as forms. Now, this process requires an enormously long time, and it is accomplished in stages as we pass from one state of use to another state of use, one stage of perfection to another stage of perfection. As we're reviewing, the Rosicrucian philosophy calls these stages mineral-like, plant-like, and animal-like. In these stages, we experience simple forms as objects, in a physical sense, living, growing, and changing forms in a plant-like sense, and detached, automotile form in an animal-like state. In these stages of becoming, we develop vehicles of consciousness that are called a dense physical body, which we're all very familiar of, and through that vehicle of consciousness, we become aware of matter and form. A vital body, which is a vehicle of consciousness, of life, and vitality, and energy. And finally, we have begun to develop a vehicle of consciousness, of emotion, desire, motivation, and feeling. In the Rosicrucian philosophy, these vehicles are called the dense physical body, the vital body, and the desire body. These stages of awakening occurred in vast periods of time during which we were deeply unconscious, then in a state of dreamless sleep, like dreamless sleep, and finally in a state of internal picture consciousness. Now, though these bodies are called vehicles of consciousness, our consciousness happens in them and because of them, but not in the vehicles proper. What we awaken to is experienced in the Spirit. The Spirit working through or about the vehicles is what is conscious. The vehicles are vehicles of consciousness, but the waking occurs in the Spirit. Thus we have, at one pole of our existence, we have forms of various type of stuff or matter. And at the other end of our consciousness, we have states of spiritual consciousness that are reflections, at least during involution, they're reflections of what is occurring in the vehicles of consciousness. So from the simple experience of form, or of matter, or of stuff, by reflection, we became aware of simple being, the will to be, being in its purest sense in what is called divine spirit. That was only in potential. That hasn't been yet completely awakened. From the experience of working through living, growing, and changing forms in a plant-like condition, we developed the potential to the consciousness of spirit in the life spirit, which is the spirit, which is the consciousness of radiation of intelligence and creativity and unity of love in spirit and pure imagination without any imaginings. From the experience of feeling, emotion, motivation, and desire as subjects relative to objects, we developed a vehicle of motivation, a detached body which is capable of being moved around and has the desire to do so. From that, in reflection, we developed a discrete self, and that is, that stands apart in its own being. And that self is capable of experience through the vehicles of consciousness. Now, this is just a review. We went at it more slowly last evening, and I'm trying to present it in a slightly different way, which is what the value of a review is, so that you don't think that it's only one way that you can look at the material. Now, there are very important points in this, and we'll keep coming back to some of them again and again. Remember, if we are talking about an evolutionary creation, our presentation must be like the evolutionary creation itself. It must be spiral-like. There must be a lot of repetition, and we have to look at it from different points of view as we do everything else in the evolutionary creation. Now, all of this, as it was done to us, we were more or less unconscious. And I think we demonstrated the first night and a little more last night that we still are much more unconscious than we are conscious. I think most people would be startled and awed if they had one giant step forward in consciousness, waking consciousness, to how asleep we are now, how little we know. Now, in this involutionary process, we were worked on by divine creative hierarchies. And these creative beings were evolving while creating at the same time. They are becoming creators by doing creative work within the universal creator. And so they worked on us, just the way we work on matter right now. We are beginning. We are very journeyman creative beings right now. We, for the most part, have machines work on other machines right now, but that's not the way it works in spiritual evolution, at least not in the very best way. The spiritual hierarchies gave of themselves. They gave their very being, and they informed our becoming being, both in the vehicles of consciousness, the bodies, and in the states of spirit, in the threefold spirit. They emanated their being into our being, and that is how we became. In fact, everything that we are right now is a product, so to speak, of the gods. We know this from astrology. You don't have to study astrology very long at all, or to pick up an astrology book and a physiology book to see that the hierarchies are in the organs and systems and tissues of our bodies. The way they function, each organ, is the way a corresponding hierarchy functions. It's a magnificent, magnificent thing. So everything we are today has been built into us. And we have learned according to how we have responded to being informed by the gods. And our response, even though it was unconscious, was more or less good. Now, even the worlds, which are states of being, are stuff of the universal spirit and are the stuff of its projected creative dream, which some call the scheme of evolution. It is taking something from the potential or in the potential of the absolute and bringing it into conscious being. So it is a creativity for the universal creator as well. Now, this means that the consciousness of which we are capable of awaking to is common and universal to all. It's a different kind of objectivity, not learned from an object, but objective to all in the universal spirit. This also means that there are very definite states of consciousness available to us. Exact kind of consciousness. The conditions of the worlds and our ability to experience those conditions and to wake something up in the spirit as a result. Are very exact states of consciousness. This does not mean in total that our potential is limited. We can go deeper and deeper into these exact states of consciousness. And we needn't be afraid that there are others that we're missing, because there will be other times that we can go through other evolutionary creations and awaken other consciousness. What we're looking at here is really little stuff. It just means that for now, we are beginners, in that we have very specific lessons that we can learn. It also means that the consciousness we awaken to is the consciousness of the cosmos, the consciousness of reality as manifest by the Supreme Being through the divine hierarchies. Now, it is a very staggering thought. By the principle of analogy, by the Hermetic axiom, if we look at it in reverse, this must also mean that eventually the entire cosmos, awesome as it is, might dissolve and expose us to yet another kind of consciousness or another level of consciousness collectively in all consciousness. All right. what we have spoken of and reviewed is called involution. During involution, the spirit and the becoming spirit in macrocosm, in the worlds, and in microcosm, in bodies, is becoming more involved in matter. We have been speaking about the participation of our human life wave in that process. During that whole involutionary process, we have been creatures. We have been worked on by the divine beings. We have been the stuff that the divine beings have used for their creative becoming. In the analogy we've been using, we are the materials of their painting. We have, at one time or another, been as intractable as stone and as ignorant and helpless as infants. Like infants, our every need was taken care of. Everything we have needed to see that we get exactly what we need has been given to us. Anybody who's ever taken care of a baby knows that that's an appreciable task, that it is vast and it is with complexity beyond our current comprehension when we think of it on an evolution, in an evolutionary scope. But it's all done beginning with very great simplicity. It's like a cannon, or like a fume that has a very simple theme, and then that theme is played off against itself and against itself and against itself until it becomes an enormously beautiful and complex thing of creation with an almost unending variety of viewpoints in repetition. It's a wonderful thing. Like music, it's rhythmic, it's coherent, it's harmonic, and it's fluent. It's not a hard process that we make it here in our materialism. Like music, it's highly repetitive and diverse, and it's capable of infinite interpretation. It's our duty every day as we experience reality to interpret it, because our interpretations go to the universal spirit and fill it out. All of the multitude of facets of spiritual consciousness have been kept available to us as we have evolved. All of this brings us to where we are here and now, our present status in the evolutionary creation. This is what's most important to us. Maybe to some it seems like so much of a pipe dream to talk about an involutionary past. We want to know about the present state of consciousness and what we can do to improve it, so that's what we're going to begin to do now. We are in the fourth period of the evolutionary creation, and we are humans. We are in the fourth stage of development, the human-like stage. Because we are in perfect time with the evolutionary creation, we are what St. Paul calls a peculiar people. It's sort of the shuttlecock that represents our evolution. We are the most representative of it because we came to our greatest degree of materiality at the same time that the cosmos does. This is different from the angels. The angels began this evolutionary creation in a plant-like state because they had started in another creation, another creative evolutionary creation and manifestation. And it's different, like from our current minerals, who will not finish their whole work in this manifestation. It'll have to wait until another time. Now, the fourth period is called the Earth period, because during it, the cosmos materializes to an earthy, solid state, which it does not do in any of the other periods. The Earth period is unlike all of the other six periods in this creative manifestation. The first three periods are involutionary periods, because during them the cosmos manifests and spirit is materialized in worlds in macrocosm and in bodies in microcosm. So it's primarily a materialization of spirit in an involutionary sense. The final three periods are evolutionary, in that matter is progressively spiritualized, and the whole cosmos is less and less dense, and everything works back to the origin of creation. This fourth period, the Earth period, is both involutionary and evolutionary. During the first half of it, when we are involving more, it is called the Mars half. And it's called that because Mars indicates the character of action. And action precipitates events and precipitates tangible, overt, objective experiences. Doesn't mean that it doesn't happen in the second half, but the second half of the Earth period is called the Mercury half. Because by beginning the process of thinking, the effect of the thinking starts to draw the essence out of matter and begins that all-important evolution and begins that all-important process of the spiritualization of matter into new spiritual being. At the present, we are just past the center of the fourth period. This means we are at the beginning of the Mercury half of the Earth period. This means that our work is now more evolutionary than it is involutionary, and that it's going to increase that way throughout the entire creation. This also means that our primary service is thinking. It means that our work is to think in various different ways. It happens to be also that we, our service as human beings is thinking. The animals give emotions. The plants give vitality. We can't live without them because we sacrifice the ability to take vitality from the cosmos when we left the plant-like state and manifest desire as animals. Obviously, the minerals, their service is just form. Their resistance and their rigidity gives stable form to all, to the plants, to the animals, and to the humans. So our work is mental. So for a little bit now, let's talk about the relationship between thinking and waking consciousness. Remember, in the whole series, we're trying to get at consciousness, what it is, how it has become, and what we can do to awaken more in it. An important thing that we've repeated several times, and we'll probably repeat several more, is that in the past we have worked unconsciously with the help of hierarchies over an immense span of time. We have built and improved and given service through a series of bodies, each with a different function at different stages of evolution. Those functions of consciousness in form and stuff and shape, we learn physically. We developed a vehicle of consciousness for life and growth in action. That seems tedious and boring to repeat these things, but just recently I cut myself. And that's a good example of the fact that we have this miraculous ability to regenerate through the healing process. And we have a vehicle of desire, feeling, emotion, and motivation. To repeat, they are called a dense physical body, a vital body, and a desire body. Now, the reflective experience of these vehicles has produced three potential spiritual states of consciousness and being. They are the divine spirit of will and the will to be, which is the reflection of the dense physical body. The life spirit of love and light and love and imagination, which is the reflection of the vital body. And the human spirit, the self, and all of the individual activities are a reflection of desire, feeling, emotion, motivation. Thus, at the beginning of this present period, we had a fairly sophisticated personality, and we had a potentially succinct spirituality and individuality. Both were more unconscious than conscious, which is really saying something, because if you look at something like our animals and the capacities that they have, they are really sophisticated, and they can do a lot of wondrous things. And they're doing this with unconsciousness. Can you imagine what it is like when there will be full waking consciousness? Just think of all the wonders we do in our body right now, all the physiological miracles that we go through every second of our existence. Just think what that'll be like when we are waking. So both the states of spirit and the states of matter, or form, were more unconscious than conscious, and both bent toward each other, yearning for completion in each other. Matter and form reaching up, so to speak, and for spirit and for meaning, and spirit reaching down for experience and for completion. The work of the Earth period has been to begin the union so that spirit could enter into its vehicles of consciousness and wake up in them and through them work while they are suspended within the Great Spirit. So to do this, it was necessary to have a link, or it was necessary to have a focus, something both link and focus, to penetrate into and get within form and matter. This is a huge thing. Now, this was accomplished on the form side by rebuilding each of our bodies, not only to accommodate to the advances in each of these bodies, but to accommodate to a new vehicle. This has happened in the past When we became plant-like, we rebuilt our forms with the help of the creative hierarchies to have life live within. But now that whole process redounds on itself, and the whole personality is remaking itself to take or receive the spirit within itself, so the spirit can work right through rather than working indirectly or from without as it has been in the past. For example, the physical and etheric bodies have been rebuilt to have a brain and a nervous system so that mind could work through them. On the life side, it meant something else, and this is something very difficult. I don't even know if I can say it or even give an idea of it. The human spirit, the self, was already complete in the region of abstract or ideational thought. The self, or the spiritual ego, is an idea, a divinely conceived idea that was conceived by the universal spirit through the divine spirit and the life spirit. Since ideas are universal, so is self. Ideas are universal and spiritual, but they're not purely spiritual, because they have internal structure and limitation. Ideas have, how would you say it? The structure and limitation of ideas is like what is expressed in a formula that describes a scientific principle, or in the storyline of a myth. There is a spirit that lives in that story, but there's something about the form that is not the same as the spirit that lives in it, but it allows the spirit to become objectified in that way. So, the objective is for the abstract and the universal consciousness of spirit to enter into the concrete consciousness of bodies and of form. And this was done by developing a concrete mind as the focusing agency. The mind is the agency through which the spirit gets focused into the bodies. Now, this involves what is called in the Rosicrucian philosophy the mystery of the mind. And we are told that it is the deepest of all the mysteries of our participation in the evolutionary creation. Obviously, we're not going to be able to solve that mystery, because it usually isn't solved until the very end of the evolutionary creation. So, from knowing that fact, it should be obvious that the pseudo-description that we're going to have now and the pseudo-explanation that we have now is bound to be simple and maybe even simplistic. Spirit, because it is spirit, has the character of spirit. Even the character of the most supernal manifestation of supreme being is spirit, because it's spirit. And it functions by spirit. Now, one of the chief characteristics of spirit is giving, creative giving. It has to always be new. Now, spirit is full from itself, and it is full in itself, and it must give. It must share with the potential in the all-conscious that is still unconscious. It is like, in the analogy we've been using, it is like the artist being filled with the creative spirit so that the artist must create. Almost like Van Gogh, who would quit eating, who would quit almost everything else, but work wholeheartedly in painting, because he had to give. He was filled and couldn't do anything else. It might be said, from this point of view, that spirit is most itself when it is creative and giving. However, it wants, these are tough words to use, it wants to give, and it has so much creative love that it's willing to not be like itself in order to give, and give in the most pure way of all. As we have been saying, spirit is universal, so that when it is not like itself, it is specific. Pure spirit, as we've been saying all along, pure spirit does not have a self per se. It just is. It's just pure spirit, and it's spiriting. I don't know how to say it any other way. Self is an idea, and it's one of those limiting ideas, and so it has some of the character of specificity about it. Thus, for spirit to be out of character, or not like itself, is to have a self, or to be in self. But not having self, self then is something like another, another in potential within spirit. And to be within a self as another is to have someone to give to. Now this sounds almost like gibberish, but it's profoundly deep, and I don't know how to even bring it down. By giving itself to another, a not-self, if you like that terminology, we do have Buddhists in the room, so we have to give them a thromosop every now and then, it compounds itself on its own self. And when it compounds itself on its own self as another, it becomes self-realized. It is a self that is not itself. This has been said by spiritual philosophers, usually in paradoxical ways, because they have more sense than to try and do it like this. It's been said for ages that way. I'll give you an image that comes to consciousness for me, but be careful that the image does not become the reality, because the reality is something far more subtle. Oh boy. To the inner eye, it's something like light being focused. Light being focused increasingly densely. Light becomes compounded on light, and it becomes so dense or so complete in light that it becomes like an object. And that object is like a lens and a mirror. That is to say, that spirit reflecting off of the mirror knows selfness. So being becomes a being in a way, in a reflected way, through the limitation of being, through the limitation of reflection off of a self. Similarly, since the spirit can't be taking care of everything all the time, That would be a waste. There is, on the lower surface of concrete mind, there is also a reflection, so that things happen with automacy, without having to deliberate everything. So what we're talking about is light becoming a ball within light, which is all over, and reflecting off of that ball back onto itself and knowing itself with a selfness, and focusing through that ball to the other side and objectifying itself through that lens of vision. So it's like light passing through a crystal ball, and then inside that crystal ball there's another ball of light, and the universal light can see itself in that little ball. That's what like becoming self-conscious in selfness is like. But be careful of the image. You can get stuck on those things. So through this, becomes to know a being. And this is what is meant by objective. It's sort of an object, but yet it isn't an object, because it's just that light. It becomes a waking, objective, self-conscious concept of self. So the very being of self is carried to the entire universal spirit. Now this is something that's profound beyond my comprehension. And by pondering it, you know, it's hard to condense this into 4 pages of notes, because this is so rich and there's so much in there, you could go on and on and on. And I don't even know if I had the capacity to even appreciate this enough. It's intimated in the words of Christ, this whole process of coming to self, when Christ says, "He who saves his life shall lose it, and he who loses it for my sake shall gain it to eternity." That's what happens to us in spirit. Now this is very big, and it's very difficult, and it fraught with all kinds of issues, all of those issues of self and not self, and truth of self and illusion of self. We talked a little bit about some of those things on Monday. Some of the differences between self and other, and all those kinds of problems. Now, this is the reflective general self reflected to the all spirit. And it's reflected to, or by means of, a focal specification. And this production of a self, which produces self-consciousness in the whole, it is a conception. It is a conception that has been called Immaculate Conception. And it's been called Immaculate Conception throughout history, and the symbol for it is always a tetrahedron. That is the symbol of Immaculate Conception. It's born in a perfectly pure, clear state of conception. Now, when the focus through the center of the ball, in the center of the ball of light in the center of the crystal ball, it gets focused into the threefold complex of vehicles that we have been talking about for the last 2 days now. And the results mean that a threefold spirit, the power of the will to be, the light that represents that power in love and in wisdom, the truth of that basic being, when that becomes a self, a being, that is what gets focused into the threefold personality. The personality then is a reflection with the light literally living in the personality. And when we are self-conscious, in the most trivial way, when we are self-conscious in what is taking place around us, that light is working through us. That is what we really are. When we say working through us, that's identifying with the personality. So we can see that through creative giving, the self becomes. And through the self, in an analogous process, the concrete mind, as that innermost ball, becomes. And through the concrete mind, the spirit itself enters its vehicles. And through its vehicles, it sees the glory of the dream as manifest. It sees its creation. And as we said last evening, it's like the hierarchies look back on their creation and they say, it is good. And it is like looking back, because when it goes through the lens, it gets inverted. It gets projected through and the lens flips it around. And it is in this way that we come to waking objective self-consciousness. So every time we look in the world we often tend to take for granted, we are participating in the beginning of something that is the fulfillment of eons of development. We have worked for many millards of years to be able to see this. We are the eyes of God. We are these self-conscious individual beings that see the glory of that is around us. Now, in this, our waking up is slow. Very, very slow. Even glacially slow is not strong enough terms. Our waking up to self, our waking up in spirit, is very minimal at this time. Our waking up in objective consciousness, in the states of spirit beyond self, is almost nil. Very rare. Once in a while we get that kind of intuition that we sense Christ in the life spirit beyond self, but it's almost nil. Our waking up even in our bodies is very little, and it's a very slow process, especially in the morning. Especially since we as Rosie students are not supposed to be drinking coffee. We're supposed to get our stimulation from within. Some of our bodies, like the desire body and the concrete mind, are very nascent in their development. Whether they're waking or not, for the most part, we're not waking in them. So we have barely begun to enter consciously into the creation. And we've been building the bodies for it for a long time now, but we're just barely beginning. The effects of our creativity at this point, in a cosmic sense, amounts to almost nothing. We've been used unconsciously to change the atmosphere. It was our learning to begin to think, to precipitate thoughts, that precipitated the Atlantean atmosphere. That was unconscious. We are not very much conscious thinkers. We have an enormous amount of work to do. But all it takes is the doing. Now, the Rosicrucian philosophy has spiritual exercises to facilitate this waking and to improve our consciousness. But we won't have time to go into those this week. Maybe next year we'll look at those. Instead, let's look at a couple of simple things that we can do in our daily lives to become more conscious. Because the consciousness takes place in our life. The first one is so simple, it's almost, you know, you're going to laugh for my saying it. Pay attention. It's important to remember that all things in the cosmos are free, and that we are free, sovereign beings. And freedom is experienced in the living of freedom. And that means voluntary living. Now, some people are learning to pay attention because they want to make more money. And they'll study their customers or whatever. Don't mind them making the money. It's their learning to pay attention. Some people learn to pay attention because if they don't pay attention, they get whacked. All of us are that way to some degree. But it's a much different thing to pay attention by living voluntarily, to give ourselves to the process of attention. In that, there is one opportunity that is especially important. It's especially important, and it should be obvious from everything we've said tonight. Thinking. Not nervous thinking, not automatic thinking, not rote thinking, but just simple thinking about things as they arise. Things that happen every day. And since thinking is, from the Rosicrucian point of view, forming a vacuum for the truth to enter, every thought form is a vacuum, the attitude that produces that vacuum, the evacuative attitude, is questioning. Not questioning in a negative, doubtful way, but questioning, believing that there are answers. So everything that happens in our life, we ask questions. Isaac Newton understood universal gravity when he asked, why did that apple fall on my head? Why didn't it fall sideways? He asked a simple, stupid question, and because of it, he really opened up. Now, in the process of thinking, the threefold spirit brings all of its powers to bear on creating and giving birth to a thought. It's very hard to hold the vacuum or to hold the attention on one thing, even for a few seconds. And in that, that wakens the spirit. Everything that the spirit has is applied. This is why concentration is so hard. Even things that we're motivated to, like prayer, are difficult. So the spirit comes alive. And if we watch the process as we're doing it, which is a much more advanced state, if we watch ourselves thinking, in the process of thinking, we learn who the thinker is. Thus, every time we learn who the thinker is, we're having an experience of the Holy Spirit. Meaning to say, we are aware of ourselves as thinkers. When new thoughts are projected into the world, it literally brings light into the world. And that's our greatest service, is bringing light into the world. We human beings as thinkers, it's not just to think thoughts and say, hey, look, my thoughts are pretty. It's to take those thoughts and to bring the light of truth into the world. This is how the world knows itself. This is how the world is dissolved, and this is how matter is spiritualized through the process of thought. This is what the mystery of the mind is all about. And every time we think and bring our thoughts into the world, it's like carrying a baby. We don't just throw the baby in the world, we carry it into the world. And we, as spiritual beings, become more indwelling with the process of time by thinking more. So all of the processes of the world are enhanced by deliberate self-conscious thinking. Even if we have erroneous or missed thoughts and have to correct them, there still is improved consciousness. We can't be afraid of making a mistake, because in doing something, we're bound to come out in the last analysis much better than if we never did anything. So the mind is not only a reflective mirror, it's a two-way mirror and a two-way lens. So when we think about the world and things that we see in the world, we don't only take things from the spirit and project them into the world. That is to say, we not only materialize spirit, we spiritualize matter. And in the process of thinking about things that happen in the world, Right now, we're limited to the chemical region of the physical plane, but when we think about things that have happened in the world, when we remember them, remembering isn't quite the right word. The best word that I can think of is really doesn't exist in this sense in the English language. It is rethinking. When we rethink things of the external world, events that have taken place, that dissolves them and it begins the process of the spiritualization of matter. This is why a retrospection exercise is so important, because we're revisiting, we're rethinking things that happened to us. It's no different than creating a poem and then coming back to it several years later and reading that poem and seeing something that was there unconscious to us at the time we wrote the poem. And when we think it, we take that into ourself. So this is what our experience is. Now, these are all very important things, and they're simple things that we can do in our daily lives. Because our daily lives, this is it. It isn't a matter of someday we're going to be spiritual, because this is the reality. Our lives are not a dress rehearsal. And it's in our lives that we awaken consciousness. This is where we become right here. Now tomorrow we're going to talk about the evolutionary half of creation, but for now, let's try an experiment. Let's try doing the Rosicrucian student's prayer with complete consciousness of what we're doing. The fact that we are speaking to spirit and that we're doing it with full, voluntary, intentional consciousness. O God, increase our love for Thee so that we may serve Thee better from day to day. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in Thy sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.